Good morning.
Good morning.
I turned the heat on and do warm shirt, I'm sorry. Okay. Good morning, my name is Joanne. Welcome to the Unity Center for Positive Living. We're glad you could join us this morning, especially if this is your first time. I'd like to read to you from the Daily Word with today's opening message. I am a living expression of God. In her classic book, Lessons in Truth, I am spirit, perfect, holy, harmonious. Spirit can be defined as an invisible life and intelligence underlying all physical things. That means I am much more than my body, my thoughts, and my emotions. I am a living expression of God. As I grow in spiritual understanding, my life reflects my true nature more and more clearly. I know wholeness even when my body is experiencing illness. I see abundance even when outer circumstances indicate lack. I embrace possibilities for good even when my limited awareness cannot yet see the good. I live my human experience as a true spiritual being that I am. And from Genesis 1:27, so God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. All right. Let's remain seated. While this beautiful family plays Surely the Presence.
Let it shine.
work. In my daily work, I'm gonna let it shine.
But Oregon won, though. I was watching that game.
Yeah.
What'd you do yesterday? I went up to the Starbucks yesterday. Exercise.
You did?
Yeah.
There was something going on. I thought in Toledo. I don't know, maybe that's kind
of. Yeah.
It was this one's birthday yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So I took him out.
Yeah.
And he wasn't feeling well.
She's still a little contagious.
Not unstickable, right?
Who's that, Susan?
Yeah, she does. She's
a good one.
She's got her.
She's like the flip my eggs up
like
that.
You can flip whatever you want.
Yeah, right.
That's probably the flipper.
Well, look who's awake.
Yeah,
you finally woke
here.
Up.
Okay.
You've been to sleep. How are you feeling, by the way?
You're playing in the camera.
Good. I'm glad you made it today.
Just to watch out because I was a Halloween freak.
Are there regularly scheduled activities or downstairs on the calendar? As you can tell by the sparse attendance, it's coffee rest stop weekend. People worked all night, some are working early this morning. Thank you all for making that possible. Let's see, any other announcements?
Board meeting next week.
Next board meeting next week. All right.
It's Bobby's birthday, and Yvonne had one too.
Oh.
A birthday? Happy Who's going to send you a card? You're the card seller. Did you just send them a card? Okay. Well, you know what that means.
Yep.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Bobby and Yvonne. Happy birthday to you.
All right. So, there's no other announcements. We have no dinners coming up or anything, no celebrations, do we?
Thanksgiving,
that's it, yeah.
Every day's a celebration.
Okay, we're eating today. Any day as an excuse to eat. Well, then let's say the unity statement together in your program. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. And what is our song of joy today?
Oh, you know? Yeah, I think we mixed them up.
Oh.
The first one was the song of joy.
Joy everywhere.
That was joy.
And then I'm realizing that this one I didn't hand out lyrics for, which I could go get really quick.
You should have in the back.
Yeah, I'll go grab them.
Okay, meanwhile we'll talk.
Hi, where'd Daddy go? Hold up. Where'd you go? Susan Finley, welcome back.
Susan Finley, yay! Yay!
How was your trip? Good. All right. Want to be here next week? Here next week, but not the one after that. We go to Minnesota.
Sure, that'd be great.
All right. So Cindy's going to hand out the words to our song of joy. What's it called, Michael?
This is the day.
This is the day.
This is the day.
I am. By Charles Fillmore, and Charles Fillmore was on this earth from 1854 to 1948, and the Unity Movement was founded in 1889, the same year that Washington became a state, by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. Unity successfully incorporates traditional Christian religion with metaphysical principles, including the law of cause and effect, and the use of positive affirmations to bring about change in one's life. Of course, we all know and practice that, right? So, but you can imagine this writing that I'm reading from, he did in 1909. That actually was the year that my father was born, in 1909. But I don't think he knew anything about Charles Fillmore. So, this is chapter 5, the true character of being. There is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Science that is here set forth is founded upon spirit. It does not always conform to intellectual standards, but it is, nevertheless, scientific. The facts of spirit are of a spiritual character, and when understood in their right relation, they are orderly. Orderliness is law, and is the test of true science. the lawful truths of spirit are more scientific than the constantly shifting opinions based on intellectual standards. The only real science is the science of spirit. It never changes. It is universally accepted by all who are in spirit. But one must be in the spirit before one can understand the science of spirit. The mind of spirit must become active in those who would grasp the orderly science of being that these lessons proclaim. It is not absolutely necessary that the spiritual part of man's nature be active at the beginning of his study of this science. The primal object of the lessons is to quicken the spiritual realm of consciousness and to bring about the breath of the Almighty that gives understanding. It was hard to know where to stop, but I have a pretty good stopping place. So let it be understood that we are teaching the science of spirit, and that those who are receptive to the teaching will be inspired to spiritual consciousness. It is not difficult to accomplish this receiving the breath or inspiration of spirit. We are all inspired by spirit in certain states of consciousness. Understanding of the laws governing the realm of the spirit will make it possible to attain this consciousness and to receive this inspiration whenever requirements are met. The starting point in spiritual realization is a right understanding of that one designated as the Almighty. It is strictly logical and scientific to assume that man comes forth from this one, who is named variously, but who, all agree, is the origin of everything. Since man is the offspring of the Almighty, he must have the character of his parent. If the earthly child resembles its parents, how much more should the heavenly child resemble its parent? The truth that God is the father of man does away with the oft-proclaimed presumption that it is impossible for the finite to understand the infinite. God must be in his universe as everywhere intelligent power. Otherwise, it would fall to pieces. God is in the universe as its constant breath or inspiration. Hence, it is only necessary to find the point of contact in order to understand the one in whom we all live and move and have our being. Thank you, Gail. And we may seated for a meditation song.
We've done this one before too. It's very simple Sanskrit seed syllable chant. It goes ra, ma, da, sa, sa, se, so, hum. We'll just sing it, and as you sing it, if you feel like joining the meditation, moving from your root chakra up, the root chakra being ra, and then, so you can say that with me, ra,
ra,
and then your second chakra, ma,
ma,
third chakra, da,
da,
heart, sa,
sa.
And you double up on the heart. Sa. Se.
Se.
So. Hum. Movement through the whole system.
Ra. Sa.
is beautiful. You'll join me now in the affirmations in your program. I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all the good I already have. I am growing more prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. And I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in perfect time. And this morning, because it's the first Sunday, I'm going to do the Lord's Prayer. Our wonderful speaker, Daria, will be singing the Lord's Prayer, and then the Alleluia, and then sharing her words of wisdom. Here's Daria.
It's a lot of repetition, but it's basically saying, I'm taking my freedom off the shelf. I'm going to wear it around my neck. I'm going to carry it. I'm going to break any chains of limitation because I'm living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden. Repeats, repeats, repeats. And it's a popular song, meaning not in the realm of spiritual songs, but it's, what could be more spiritual than claiming your freedom, claiming who you are, and stepping out and carrying that freedom and that light in the world. So our it really fits with the spirit of our daily words message, which says, I am a spiritual being as an expression of God, as an expression of Creator. That, again, we've been on this theme, and we can't get enough of it because we're constantly making that, what, transmutation from lead into gold. From lead into gold, from that which is lead, which may remain in us as lead, to that which is golden. And to make that transmutation is part of restoring us back into the notion of us as the image of Creator. Us being made in Creator's image means us, if you think about the meaning of the word image, image is the form that represents something. When you're looking in the mirror, what do you see?
The image.
Not you, but the image of you. Right? I mean, at the physical level. You look deeper, you see more, you see more, you see more. And so, when it is said in Scripture, in Genesis, that we are going, we are being made in the image. God made man in his image. And actually, the way it's quoted in our daily word, there's one more phrase that's in the Bible, the one I use, from the Eastern text, from the Aramaic. There's one more phrase that goes with that verse. And I'm going to read it. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, interestingly enough, that's before you get to the part in the story where Eve is made from Adam's rib. Let me say that again. That's before you get to the part in the story where it is said that woman is created from man. So I'm going to read this again. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And like all the other creatures, God then says, go forth and multiply. Go forth and multiply. Go forth and multiply as you are the expression of Creator here on earth. Expressing, breathing is me. Because after, when Adam is made, it says God blows the breath of life into his nostrils. The breath of life has been blown into us as being created in the image that is Creator. So it says that walking around here every day, meditating, laying down, doing whatever we're doing. The reason I'm going back to Genesis, by the way, because we're walking in this time. We're walking in this time that's very polarized. We're walking in this time where we've got all these challenges with how we perceive whatever's going on and how we respond to whatever's going on, how we speak about whatever's going on as an expression of Creator. As an expression of Creator, which means what? We're creating all day, all night, Mary Ann.
Amen.
All the time. And then we're going, why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't God do something? Why don't you? Why don't you? Not that you're not doing anything, but why doesn't God do more? And what's the next thing that God is going to do now that we've done this? What's the next creation? So we're operating, and whenever I have a challenge with where we're operating today, whatever I'm looking at as a current reality, I go back to the roots of it. I go back as far as I can, which is why I'm going in to emphasize Genesis today, why I'm going in to emphasize the breath of life and what it means to live my life like it's golden, and what it means for all of us to live our life like it's golden. So that's the first part of this, to really focus on what does it mean to be made in that image. And you notice in Genesis, as the story is being told of creation, and all nations, all peoples, all religions, all tribes have a creation story. All have a creation story that helps us understand who we are. So it's important, as we're looking at living our life like it's golden, to know ourselves. The second part of this in Genesis that's really important and relevant is that humanity is given dominion. What does that mean?
But you got to take care of it.
Stewardship. We think it means just whip everybody into submission. Right? But it always means in the image of Creator and according to the laws that we're given. We have free will and we have choice. But if we have dominion, we also have what? Responsibility. We have that responsibility. And after we have been created in this Garden of Eden, where every supply is met, every supply meets a need, everything is there, everything we need to eat, everything we need as medicine, everything we need to enjoy, everything is present and available for us. We have at our fingertips all of this, and we have a relationship to live from the tree of life, right? To supply all these needs from the tree of life and all its branches, and we're part of the creation. Well, at some point here in this dominion, God says to Adam and Eve, when they discover they're naked, he says, "So who told you you were naked?" More importantly, who told you it was a bad thing? Right? Because they're rushing to cover themselves up. So there's this judgment, there's this separation that happens. And I make a distinction between judgment and discernment. It is a very good and healthy thing to have discernment, to be able to recognize what is going on around you and within you that is either acting in that world of good perspective of creating more and more good and radiating more and more good, and that which is operated in any way, form, or fashion as a limitation, oppression of you or others. So, because in this creation, we are natural and divine transformers. And that's what we're trying to get back to restore and affirm that divine, natural transformation power within us that can move things from lead into gold as we live our life like it's gold. And you talk about the movement from lead into gold in what? Alchemy. So I have a bunch of people who want to study with me, and one first things on their list is they want to be able to transmute things that are toxic into wellness and radiance. I said, this is great. I said, well, let's get to all these things we need to do that are part of that. No, I just want the technique. I don't want to necessarily do all those things that go into becoming a clear enough vessel to carry the kind of light, to live my life like it's golden. There's some work there. It's not a bad thing. It's a good process. It's a journey. There's some work there. Okay? Can you just give me the technique? How many days does it take? Can I get a certificate? All these are good things. But the initiations that go with that. How many of us want to have the gifts that Jesus had without 40 days and 40 nights and all the other pieces that went into being able to carry those gifts? Some people say, no, I'm not trying to go there because I don't want to end up on a cross. But you understand what I'm saying about the initiations that are part of developing this divine mind. So, the time, I thought it was really powerful listening to this. I'm going to say it again from her actual lyrics. I'm taking my own freedom from Jill Scott, putting it in my song. I'm singing loud and strong, grooving all day long. I'm taking my own freedom, putting it in my stroll. In other words, I'm putting it in the way I walk, the way I talk. I'll be high-stepping, y'all, letting the joy unfold. I'm living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden. So here's somebody who says, I'm going to embody this spirit, and that's part of me having dominion. That's the second piece of dominion, right? And that's the spiritual authority, to recognize and know who you are, not just as a child of God, but what unique gift and talent is your soul organized to bring forth? So the Let My Light Shine was perfect song for today, right? Because this is not about sitting in your meditation room enjoying and reveling in the beauty of the visions and the dreams that God has brought through you. That's wonderful. But maybe it needs to be in a song. Maybe it needs to be in an album. Maybe it needs to be in a poetry book. Maybe it needs to be on a street corner. Maybe it needs to be in a homeless shelter. Maybe it needs to be in a prison. So it's how, what am I bringing through me, and how am I putting it out there? Because it's not just given to me to store. So a third piece about this living my life like it's golden is the lessons that we're taught now about. Billie Holiday sings this song. I don't know why these popular songs are coming to me. Billie Holiday sings this song. Them that have shall get. Them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and still it's true. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child who's got his own. Somebody's humming, they know the song. Anyway, so why is it said? Why does Jesus say that those who have will get more? And those without shall lose what they have? Because with these gifts that we have inherited and those that we are born with this radiance, being made in God's image and having spiritual authority and the talents that go with that authority, the gifts that go with it, we're supposed to put them out and multiply. That's part of the go forth and multiply. Who you are, express as me, exponentially. Not I'll tell my husband, I'll tell my best friend. I know they won't judge me, they won't think I'm crazy. But how? It's saying, send your voice around the world in whatever form that is, in your expression of God. It's like, we're the youngsters in this whole lineage, because if you think about it in the creation story, all these other things came before us, right? The waters, the firmament, the heavens, the earth, the beasts, all of this. The light came before us. So they're like ancestors. Come before us. And it's like, even though there's an old saying, and it used to be said, deed it to the latter. Take your property and give it to the youngest person in the family. Deed to the latter. Don't, in some cultures, the oldest person gets it. But in others, in my, the culture I grew up in, it's like, no, this person may still be around. You're supposed to deed it down. Don't just leave it all to the, say the oldest person came first and they get to have everything. No, you're supposed to deed it to the latter. And so it's like it was deeded to the latter. You take care of this. You express as me with one another. And when you do use those talents instead of hiding them under your mattress, when you do use those gifts instead of hiding them in the washing machine behind the back, when you do use those talents, those gifts, those resources, and multiply them, then in the second coming, and I come and look, there is more that you have multiplied. It is clear that that has happened. If you have just tried to hide it under the shoe somewhere, then that's who loses. I used to think it just meant that if you were wealthy, you get richer. The richer get richer and the poor get poorer. Yeah, and that happens too. Okay, but that's not the law or the principle. It's been taught. In fact, the fourth thing, this key to living our lives like it's golden, is how to deal with the least of these. At some point, Jesus is saying, when the Christ consciousness comes back full and returned, those who have been operating, and I'll look over here and I'll say, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you gave me clothes. I was in prison and you came to see me. I was a stranger and you took me in. All these things. And people say, well, when did that happen? When were you in prison? And when were you? If you have done as much, and so much as you have done this for the least of these, you have done it for me. So, how it is that we have treated those who appear to have less, to appear to be in trouble, to appear to be struggling, to appear to need our help at any given time. Basically, this goes back to humanity as an expression of God. As you have treated them, you are treating me. It didn't say if you agree with my politics. It didn't say if you agree to come in here and give up your religion and your cultural language. It didn't say if you have a certain card in your pocket, I will feed you or clothe you if you're hungry. We're talking about the kingdom of consciousness that is the kingdom of God. So as we take these breaths, back to the breath of life, the fifth and final piece of this is we have this ability to transmute everything within us and around us with the breath of life that is creator, that has been breathed into us, that we own, that we have the spiritual authority over at every given moment of every day. When people, you look into what happens with those people who firewalk, those who get burned and those who walk straight across the coast, what is it? The knowingness, it's even beyond faith. No. Knowing that I'm already there. Knowing that I'm already there. Some of us, when we get afraid or anxious about something because of past trauma or history we have, or fear that those things will happen again, one of the first things that goes is what? The breath. Stop breathing, you don't even know it. Unconscious reaction. One time, I had a lot of history of dental trauma. One time I went to the dentist, had some dental surgery, and surgery went fine. Come back a couple weeks later, guy's taking the stitches out. I'm like, you know, I'm jumping. Oh, they're just coming at me wanting sharp instruments, and it's not that he really hurt me. I was jumping. So when I'm jumping, what am I doing? I'm reacting to a historical pattern. I'm reacting to something that happened in the past. I'm not focused in the now that everything's whole, healthy, I'm past the fire and the coals I've walked through. So if my feet and my toes are clenching the coals, or if I'm, you know, in my mind going, we'll wait and see how this turns out. I've never done it. I don't know if it's going to happen, right or not. No, the people who make it across without being burned, that's one thing they have in common, that they knew they were already there. So with this breath of life, take a deep breath. Breathed into you by Creator. Exhale. And as you exhale, every aspect of this breath goes through the body, through all molecules, all tissue, capturing anything that you need to move in order to restore yourself to this golden place. Because in this golden place, you are like the sun shining on all creation, everyone, everything. Inhale. Merge yourself with the tree of life where all needs are met, all is supplied. Exhale, knowing on this breath you've ride across as the Holy Spirit. Through anything that you need to move through now into that full restoration of wholeness and your spiritual authority, expressing as Creator here and now. One very big breath, all the way from the center of the earth, all the way up to the crown of your head. Around your head is the sun, full shining halo. Exhale, allow that to fulfill all of your chakras, all of your earthly movements and walk, all of your words, all of your expressions, all of your relationships. Another big breath. Hold your arms out to the sides, each arm out, hands, fingers wide open. Inhale, exhale. Allowing Creator to paint you the color of love, paint you the color of creation. Give that heart extra movement. Inhale one more time, cross the heart, up and across. Exhale. Say to yourself, I'm living my life like it's golden. I'm living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden. The breath of life. Listen, breathe. Let that increase your awareness and your power and who you are. Let it help you adapt to what you need to adapt to. Let it help you influence what you need to influence. And like the sun, it's shining on everybody. I am a sun. I'm shining on everyone. Regardless of politics, place. And so it is. Ashe?
Thank you very much, Daria. So, it's time for us to share that wonderful feeling of abundance. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say it together as we hold our offering in our hands. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give
and all I ever see.
And God is my only source. Thank you, sir. Thank you again. Thank you so much.
Blessing of thanks together found in your program. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Now, if you'd like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, just call out their name or hold them quietly in your hearts. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters, and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. Let's say the prayer of protection together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. And all is well. Let's form a little tiny circle. And we'll do the peace song. Thanks, Vern, for being our greeter. You know, we all snuck in the back door. Got snacks downstairs. Thanks, Gail, for the
big
room. Thank you for the music. And thank you, Daria, for the wonderful service. Lots of goodies downstairs to eat.
Each moment to peace, each turn of thee.
I think my my oldest daughter is that's been really hard. So we've been dealing with her. She's getting her house together. Yeah.